Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Ian Safar here with you. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. It is a big day here on Robbie and Rex Road, and a big day for our station in general here on 102.5 The Game. It is our 15th birthday, 15th year of being on the air, and we're celebrating all day long out at T-Line in West Nashville. They're going to open up at 11 a.m. this morning, so come on out, hang out with us all day long today throughout the show. We'll be broadcasting here until 6 p.m., so a long day out here at T-Line. Got plenty of time for you guys to stop by later throughout the day, and really, really happy to be here today. Really, really happy for 15 years as a radio station. Again, stop by, get signed up later today. T-Line opens up at 11 o'clock. You can win Nashville Predator season tickets. We'll have giveaways for you all day. I do want to give a quick shout-out as we get rolling here today for all the people that are making this possible out here today. And I'll just roll through them because, thankfully, we've got a lot of partners, a lot of help that have made this whole thing possible out here today for our 15th birthday as a station. Pickers Vodka, Tennessee Men's Clinic, Parman Tractor and Equipment, The Wine Cellar in Hendersonville, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, TJ Anderson Homes, Family Leisure, Houston Clinic Orthopedics, Bob's Steak and Chop House, Franklin Motors, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429, Reds Wine and Spirits in Bellevue, Adventure Science Center, Job News Nashville, Deer Run Camps and Retreat, the Sexual Assault Center, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Middle Tennessee, Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, and Sap Barbecue. Just really appreciate all of our partners for helping this be possible today. And Joe, 15 years as a radio station. Hard to believe it's been 15 years. Time goes by quick, and we've been on board for six of those. And man, that's like 40%. That's hard to believe too.
Yeah, happy birthday to us. Thanks to all the sponsors. 15, you know, we're basically through puberty. We're maybe a little bit too lippy sometimes, think we know everything, but we have our learner's permit. And so, you know, we can be all about town now just with a little bit of guidance. I think that's about it. So,
well done.
Happy birthday to us. Thank you. No, it really is
A lot of people are very disappointed that you just spoke in your normal voice and not your Cajun voice that you put on display yesterday. A lot of text on that one.
Lane, I would like to make you a birthday cake, my friend. All right, I'll stop. Okay.
All right.
You can't just do it on demand, you know?
That's true. It's just going to come naturally.
Yeah, or like never happen again. Like that's a possibility too, you know?
We'll see how it goes. Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
What up, what up? Doing just fine, thanks. Nice. Happy birthday, everybody, huh? How about that? Crazy it's been that long. I think I started here in the fall of 14.
Yeah.
And I think officially hired on April of 2015. So, yeah, still rocking somehow. But doing good, thanks. Happy Friday. Preseason almost over. I did not watch any of the action last night. Heard some up and down from Mendoza. But, yeah, looking forward to a fun weekend. Get the preseason wrapped up, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Get the preseason wrapped up. Dylan Gabriel went out last night for the Browns and just absolutely lit it up out there. So now all of Cleveland wants to start him at quarterback. So we'll see kind of what that looks like, Joe. But good stuff from Dylan Gabriel last night. By the way, we're going to have another Robbie and Rex Road fantasy football giveaway today. We'll do that later in the show. We got all sorts of tickets, prizes to give away throughout the day to help celebrate our birthday here on 102.5 The Game. So keep it locked, loaded all day long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And again, just appreciate all you guys. Obviously, 15 years as a radio station would not be possible without you, the listeners. So we appreciate that. And welcome your participation, as always, throughout the show, all day long, here on 102.5 The Game. Joe, the joint practices have now mercifully come to an end. But the Titans, did well yesterday by those who were there in attendance for the joint practice. Carnell Tate had a big day. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Joe. You've got the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Bears, three pretty good teams from last year. And, you know, I guess some of this depends on who you ask. Like, I think it's pretty clear. Most of the reporting, Joe, would suggest that San Francisco got the better of the Titans at the joint practice session a couple of weeks ago. Titans got the better of the Seahawks at the joint practice session last week. And I would say yesterday, depending on where you look, is maybe a little bit more even. Like, the Titans certainly held their own. There are some people who think the Titans won the practice. There are some people who think that it was basically dead even with the Titans and the Bears. Regardless, Joe, that's three pretty good teams you've played in the preseason. And it kind of gets into the, all right, well, we'll see what happens in the preseason game coming up tomorrow. But the joint practice session, I mean, Saleh has said it multiple times. He said it again yesterday, that he puts more value in the joint practices than he does the actual preseason games. And it looks like the Titans, for the most part, have done pretty well, all things considered, when you factor in their opponents. So I guess we'll start there. What do you make of that? How much meaning does that have to you? And how much meaning should that have to Robert Saleh about where his football team is?
I mean, I think the meaning is that you got in work that should help you, you know. And yeah, like, you want to have some good reps. You want to have string together some good plays on both sides of the ball with your best against their best. That's a confidence builder. Everybody knows where this team has been. This roster, I mean, no, I don't think anybody looks at this roster and says, yeah, this team's ready. This team is ready to compete right now. I mean, you know, the biggest question is the quarterback. But I think it's quality work, and some of that stuff is beneficial. But, you know, it's just all of it. Like, there's just still so much to learn when actual football happens, you know, when it's all put together. I mean, I think if your coaching is really good, you know, you don't really see that in the preseason, right? I mean, you see execution of basic stuff. You see players repping things and trying to work on things. But then the coaches switch from, what is this team going to be? Develop this guy, work on this guy with this, work on my guys, to, okay, how do we collectively put everything together to win a football game? And so if the coaching is good, you know, then you have a chance to – go in and look different, like a look a lot different in an actual game than you did in these preseason games. And we'll see, you know, we'll see how it looks in the game situation tomorrow. I mean, ultimately, man, it's just amazing how much energy we put into these practices. And I'm so glad, so glad that we will never speak of another freaking practice this year. Like, unless there's
a fight.
Vow.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's reality in this league, right? I mean, unless there's like a fight or whatever. I mean, let's say this guy was missing. What does it mean? You know, whatever. But they have injury reports anyway. Like, there is no reason to ever talk about another NFL practice. And honestly, I would prefer in all of our sports that we just talk about games, but that's just not the NFL.
Well, it is every other sport other than the NFL, which I've harped on before. For some reason, this is the one sport where we just look at practice. It's like, yeah, let's talk about this every day. And I know why it is. It's because we're all football starved, and then it finally gets here, and then you're like, oh wait, it's not really here for like another month and a half. Cool, let's get into that.
Yeah,
but yeah, like, look, is it a good thing that the Titans have apparently done well in these joint practices against the Seahawks and the Bears? Yeah, I mean, I would certainly rather have that than the opposite, right? Like, if it was the combination of the preseason games going as poorly as they've gone for the starters, and you're just getting your butt handed to you in the joint practice sessions, well, that's probably not good, Joe. I mean, it's probably somewhat of an identifier there of, okay, we might have a big problem here. Now, one thing I will say, you know, I heard Saleh talking about how it's just like the joint practices are just way more valuable than the preseason. And look, he's the head football coach of the team. I will trust him that opinion is correct. But I will also say, like, you know, I think once you get into a preseason game, even if it is just preseason, like, you talk after the first game in San Francisco about Ward being sped up. It's like, well, was he sped up in the joint practice session, or was he sped up in the game, right? Like, at some point, whether it's preseason or not, you do need to see the success that you have in practice translate over to an actual game setting. Like, there's something about when the lights go on that – you've got to find a way to be able for that to translate. So, for instance, we're going to get into Carnell Tate here in just a few minutes, who apparently had just an amazing day yesterday at the joint practice session against the Bears. Well, okay, that's awesome. Now, go out there and catch a few balls in the game tomorrow, right? Let's get him going in the game and see what that looks like. So, again, Robert Saleh, and I think it's probably an opinion shared by most coaches, probably not all coaches, but most coaches in the NFL, that they get more out of the joint practice sessions. You know, it's interesting. It depends on who you ask in the league, because Aaron Rodgers thinks that joint practices are dumb and preseason games are dumb and all these things are dumb. So, yeah, I guess it just depends on who you ask. But I do still think that there's value in seeing things actually take place in a football game setting where everyone knows they can be hit, which is still, especially at quarterback, such a big difference to me between joint practices and preseason games.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is, of course, as we talked about, but that sped up game for Cam. Well, that was the first time in the entire preseason that he could actually be tackled, and that's where that's where it is different. The lights on, like you said, the people watching, but also, I think for quarterbacks, definitely it's different, and you have to be able to put that value on it, because, I think more coaches than not think they get more value in the joint practices, because you can say, okay, let's go. Let's get this guy, gets this guy. Let's do that rep again. Ones, and you can really work on stuff together as a two staffs, right? But, at the same time, I mean, there's a reason that Cam's probably going to play several series, on Saturday. The reason he's been playing these series, because it is still not, you can't replicate everything about it anywhere else.
We are off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We've got giveaways all morning long. We take your questions on the Titans as they prepare for their preseason finale against the Chicago Bears coming up tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. And we will continue the discussion on the Titans. Big day for Carnell Tate yesterday at practice. What does it all mean? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We're out in T-Line in West Nashville. We'll be out here all day long on 102.5 The Game. We got tickets to give away all day, too, to celebrate our 15th anniversary as a radio station. And I got one to give away right now. A couple tickets to see Journey at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Wednesday, October 21st, to caller number 3. Call number 3 will win tickets to see Journey at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, October the 21st. I mean, rumor has it, Rex Road could be in the building for that one. We'll see how that goes.
I'm going to appeal to them to be geographically correct.
South Detroit.
About the city of Detroit. And if they will change the lyrics, I will show up.
Oh, that's your demand?
I might show up anyway.
Let's see how that goes. Good stuff. We'll have more tickets to give away throughout the day here on the program, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Carnell Tate, a big day yesterday, Joe, at Titans practice against the Bears. He had 7 catches, 2 touchdowns, was targeted 12 times. And Braden Gall, among others, at paulkuharski.com, pointing out, should have been 2 additional catches. Ward overthrew him on 2 separate occasions there. So, again, back on the Ward front, we'll get back into him here in a minute. But most accounts say as the day went on, Ward got a whole lot better and really dialed in. The first part of it did not go overly well for Cam Ward. But Carnell Tate, big day after what's been a pretty quiet period of camp for him, Joe, in practice and in the games. Obviously, he's not caught a pass yet in either one of the preseason games. But, Karski was with us earlier this week talking about how he's in a little bit of a lull right now out there. And an explosive day for Carnell Tate yesterday against the Bears. I think if more than anything, Joe, probably just from a confidence standpoint, it's good for your rookie receiver to have a day like that against another team. And we'll see what that means for the game tomorrow. But after not doing a whole lot for the last week or so, probably a big confidence booster for Carnell Tate yesterday.
Yeah, and we talked about that, right? Just the need to get him going, the need to have him show up in these situations against the top DBs on another team. You still, I think, have a thought about trying to get that going tomorrow as well. Give the home fans something to see too. Here's your number 4 pick. Get him the ball a little bit. But yeah, it's definitely good for him to get that. And again, I know one of them, you know, the scramble drill, and Cam talked about that after the practice too. And that is, to me, that's why it's good work, is like those situations when the two of you kind of, okay, the play's blown up and now you have to be on the same page, and they were, and so you make a play out of that. You know, I mean, stuff like that is great, and you can practice it, and you can rep it and do it against your defense. I still think it's a little bit different if you're going up against, you know, the ones for well, especially the defending Super Bowl champion. I mean, that's a, you know, or I'm sorry, what am I talking about? That's last week. Hopefully never again.
Don't be putting that evil on the Bears. What are we talking
good
about?
Guy. Yeah, for a hopefully never again Super Bowl champion. You know, they're still living off the 1985 season. But talented team, good team. So, yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good to get that in. Does it, like, you know, again, it's like if we went through all the way through the preseason and it was like basically he just disappeared, you know, then you'd be wondering, like, okay, is there some kind of like little nagging injury you don't know about? Has he hit a wall? Whatever, you know, what's going on there? Well, now you can just end that, and then we'll see what it looks like when they play real football in 2 weeks and 2 days.
2 weeks and 2 days. Get excited.
Yay.
Yeah. Still a long time between now and then. No, it's good, man. Like, I think from watching him in college, the early reports in camp, and then to have a day like yesterday, like, I think it just shows you that it's in there, right? Like, the ability for him to come out and dominate a game, to be a legitimate number one target for the Titans. Like, that ability is in there. Now, what's the consistency level going to look like for him as a rookie coming in to this team? That I don't know. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like week to week for Carnell Tate. I mean, you're hoping at some point when you draft a guy number four overall that he does turn into one of those, you know, 10 to 12 absolute stud receivers in the NFL that you just build a big part of your offense around. Like, that's the long-term goal for Carnell Tate. But I mean, like, it's been quiet over the last week or so. So it's good to see him from that standpoint, you know, step into a situation and make some plays there. And it just shows you more than anything that I think he's clearly the most talented option that they have. When the season comes around, you know, I'm interested to see how long it takes him to get it to the point where it's, you know, every week it's a threat. I mean, AJ Brown got it pretty quickly. And even that, right? Like, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase has weeks where he catches, you know, four balls for 42 yards. It's not always some eight catch, 115 yard performance every week. So I'm not trying to hold Tate to that standard, but I do think like there's a certain amount of consistency that, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, everybody knows what they're going to do with him. They're going to try to double him. He finds ways to get open anyway. You know, that's what, you know, same thing with Jackson Smith and Jigba, same thing with Puka Nacua. Like, all your guys that are your upper echelon receivers, teams look at them and they say, we cannot let this dude just absolutely take over. And yet sometimes they do it anyway. And Tate hopefully gets to that point at some point too. But I think yesterday, if anything, Joe, it's just a reminder that the ability is in there. Like, you can he's got the ability to be a force in the NFL, and we'll see how quickly he can get to that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think back. So I guess we're going back 8 years. No, we're going back 7 years. Coming out of AJ Brown's rookie camp, he looked good. You could see it, like, okay, this does not look like a miss. And everybody saw him play at Ole Miss. I mean, it's like this is a good player. But you know, it was the first real game when he took that. You know, he made that huge play, where you're like, okay, wow, maybe they – like, you didn't even really know for sure until you got to real football. And obviously you hope with Tate, as quickly as possible in the season, you see big plays and you see, like, consistent targeting and just him being ready to come right in and make a difference and build toward what you're talking about, you know, being a guy who actually makes defenses sit up and take notice and plan around him. But you didn't know that with AJ Brown, really until the lights truly went on, and then you snap the fingers and you're like, okay, this is a dude.
It's a dude. And I think especially, and we'll get into the Wandale Robinson here in a minute, who apparently took a cheap shot from Xavier Woods yesterday, which Robert Saleh was clearly not a fan of, in his press conference after, but hopefully he's going to be all right. I mean, I mean, it would suck, Joe, for like Wandale Robinson to be dealing with a concussion in week one against the Jets when I think at the moment he's clearly your most reliable target. Like, you know, Tate, I think, eventually needs to be your best target and your deep threat and, you know, the guy that's your number one wide receiver. But right now, Wandale Robinson and the reliability that I think he's going to have over the middle is a big part of this. So hopefully he's healthy moving forward here. We'll see. But, like, you know, Tate early in the year, I guess what I'm more interested in to start the year from his perspective, how do defenses treat him? Like, do they treat him as if he's, like, the Titans' unquestioned number one guy and they're trying to shut him down? Like, is that a part of their game plan? Do they need to see him do it at the NFL level in a regular season game first before he gets some of that treatment? I mean, you're talking about the number four overall pick, so there's going to be some natural attention that goes there. But I wonder, like, if you're the Jets, if you're the Giants early in the year, if you're the Eagles early in the year against the Titans, how are you game planning for Carnell Tate? And could Tate, if it's not, you know, if they're not super focused on him, can Tate take advantage of that right from the jump?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I'd be surprised if certainly I guess he's going to be one of the early things you talk about as a D coordinator because you know he's talented rookie. And of course, it depends too on like which teams play a decent amount of man and want to match up with people and, you know, which are typically have coverages that they stay in, you know, but I don't know. I mean, to me, he's probably got to do it in real games first and show people, you know, what he has before you see teams really. But you also adjust in game. Sometimes it's like, okay, this guy's carving us up. Let's do something about it. And that'd be a refreshing sight for Titans fans.
Yeah, it would. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your questions, your thoughts on the Titans. More coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, out here today at T-Line in West Nashville. Ian Safar back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans. It's the preseason finale tomorrow as they take on the Chicago Bears, and then we're into regular season mode after that as the Titans prepare for the New York Jets. Your question is at 615-737-1025. Jay in Clarksville, wondering, Joe, would either of you guys change your win-loss predictions for the Titans after seeing this preseason? Joe, has the preseason impacted how you view this year's outlook for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, what I predicted 6-11, right? Well, okay. I mean, if anything, I might take a win off or two, but I guess I'll stick with six. Well, I went 6-11. Is that what I did? Am I being a total homer and picking these guys to win six games? I think I did. I feel that's about.
I mean,
right.
Let the record show that we have not given our official predictions yet. We took a look at the schedule and like rattled through it, but we've not given our official predictions yet.
Okay,
that's coming later.
Yeah. I mean, I think we went through it and still came away with win totals, right? I thought it was 5 for you two.
We did, but I'm just saying we did it when the schedule came out.
May or June
or whenever it was.
So to answer your question, Jay, I don't know. I mean, we still have to do it. We have 2 weeks and 2 days to fill an entire show with our predictions, which will be hard, but we will
segment one segment at a time.
We will go in
this segment. We're going to go the Eagles game, and then we're going to get into the Jags on November 15th.
We could. Well, maybe we should get a guest on every team, every segment. Yeah,
that'd be great. Let's do that.
Sounds like great radio right there.
I mean, look, to answer the question, I would say this. The preseason games have been concerning to me. They have highlighted some concerns that I had about Ward anyway when it comes to the accuracy and all those things. I mean, it even sounds like yesterday he had overall a good day, but it sounds like it was pretty inconsistent to start yesterday too, where he's just sailing balls and missing people. So it's like, okay, well, what do I really take away from that? So I'm worried about that. You know, the defense, based on what we saw in the last game against Seattle, I mean, they gave up a 70-yard run up the gut to a fifth-string running back, and they got beat deep down the field. I need to see them in game settings actually defend the pass. So, yeah, like to answer your question, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I think the preseason probably has negatively impacted the way I view this team.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, when you go back through the games again, I don't know that I'll be all that different, you know. You got to go through it. Because with some of the teams that you go through, there's also maybe some notable happenings that make you feel one way or the other, or make you feel a little bit different about this team or that team. But, yeah, I'd say the overall Cam struggles. I mean, again, it hasn't been like daily consistently, but it's been enough that there's been, you know, a fair amount of alarm in this fine city. And the secondary for sure. That was like the, you know, week one, that was the joint practice and the game. You're like, wow. So the secondary is just burnt toast right after everybody was talking about how good this defense could be. You know, that was one of those where you see both things that are alarming in the same setting, you know, in the two different settings of the same team. And then obviously you had some pretty rough stuff for that secondary against Seattle too. So that's probably the most, like, I'm not shocked that we're sitting here and like Cam Ward had the most amazing preseason. I'd say probably the biggest surprise would be that secondary, but I would also say that the offensive line is actually, to me, better than I feared it might be. So brief glimpses, but I think that's an important thing to look at tomorrow is how many series they get and how do they look against a pretty good defense.
I would agree. I also, like, I need to see them play against some actual NFL players before I get too excited about that too. Like, yep. That's the other thing. Like, you know, yep. And that's the downside of preseason. You could do that on both sides. Like, you know, the offensive line hasn't really been tested yet in a game setting. And on the flip side, you know, your offense and your defense have gone up against largely backups, and it's been a struggle. So, like, what do you make of all that? I don't know. Like, I don't really know kind of what that all means. Ian, we need your vibe check on the Tennessee Titans, who I feel like over the last couple of years you've been pretty spot on with this team. How does Ian Safar feel right now about the Titans?
I'm a little up and down, I'll be honest with you. Part of me is like, okay, I'm a little bit worried. And then another part of me is like, okay, it's only been two preseason games. I think we should give it a little bit of time. But I'd say I'm probably about the same as we did when we did our little projection when this schedule came out. I'm probably around the 5 or 6 wins, I think. Yeah.
Get excited, Titans fans.
I think I'm about right there. You know, I'm hoping the defense will be a little bit better. I'm hopeful for more. I'm hopeful for 7, you know, maybe 8 if everything goes right. But I'm feeling more in the 5 to 6 range.
Okay. I mean, I think that's going to be a very common thought heading into the year, Joe. I mean, it just there's
like they'll be a little bit better.
It does. Like, it does feel like they'll be a little bit better. I mean, frankly, they can't be a whole lot worse, right? I mean, that's kind of what I come back to in a lot of this is, as bad as they've been over the last couple of years, it's hard to imagine them being that bad again for a third consecutive season. So that's a little bit of what I'm holding on to there. But the games themselves, when the regular season comes around, it's just so crucial, I think, to get off. Like, not to keep putting everything on this Jets game, because we're probably overhyping the Jets game. Like, not only our show, but like our station keeps talking about the Jets game, and the fan base is talking about the Jets game, and I get it. Like, I understand all the stakes. I really do. We're probably, you know, at this point maybe overhyping it a little bit, but it just feels like so much of it is going to come down to, Joe, like the start they get off to. Certainly from a fan base, like, morale standpoint, like, I think that's probably more than anything where we're coming from on all this is, like, your fan base has been through so much. It's been such a tire fire around here the last few years, where if you go out there in week one and you lose to the Jets, I mean, the fan base, some people are like immediately just going to check out. People are going to be really mad. Whereas, you know, there is a world, Joe, where they could go out there, lose to the Jets in week one, and then rebound and like beat the Eagles and the Giants, and they're sitting there at 2-1. It's the NFL. Like, I've seen some crazy stuff happen.
Yeah, but it's important.
It's important. I mean, I know.
21 horrific. I mean, there's so much hype for that team. Julio and AJ and Derrick Henry and so – and again, turned out to be a pretty freaking good year until you got to the playoffs, but got just absolutely bombarded in the opener by the Arizona Cardinals. Chandler Jones had, what, 5 sacks? Is that right?
5.
An infamous day, you know, at Nissan Stadium. And then the next week they go out to
Seattle.
Who's
the left tackle in that game?
3 sacks so far, turn on the wall.
Anybody remember?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was pointed out a couple of times.
Yeah, I think so. He's back in. Everybody's back. Woo. But, yeah, so the next week they go out to Seattle. It's like, is this team going to stink? And they go beat Seattle in this amazing overtime game. I mean, it's – so, but it's also so different. Like, we knew that team was good. We knew that and that day was like one guy coming off a knee and you're like, well, you know he's a good player, but whatever. Anyway, this is so different. I do think that, like, the one thing that we haven't really seen – well, we haven't seen it because John Franklin Myers has been a little banged up, but that should be the best part of the team. And if it's as good as it could be, in particular with those two guys inside – I mean, it really does change things for, like, a lot of other guys on the defense, you know? So that's one thing that we're just going to have to, I think, wait until the season opener to see what that looks like when they really unleash those guys.
There are a couple of things about the Titans that, in my opinion, Joe, have been consistent enough throughout the preseason to this point that I'm starting to feel pretty good about them. And we'll get into some of that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Joe, a couple of things that I am noticing from the Titans that appear to be pretty consistent at this point into training camp, into the preseason, that I'm starting to feel pretty confident about. Now, we mentioned the offensive line, and again, I need to see him do it against starting-level NFL defenders. But, Joe, it feels like the Titans are going to be able to run the ball pretty effectively. Like, they've done it basically all training camp long. They've ran it pretty well throughout the preseason. Tony Pollard apparently had another good day against the Bears yesterday. So, you know, some of that was apparently a 50-yard pass that he caught, which I didn't necessarily know was in Tony Pollard's skill set, but apparently it was. So, nice job from him yesterday, but apparently ran the ball pretty well again. It feels like I've seen it consistently enough, Joe, that I'd be surprised at this point if the Titans weren't pretty good at running the ball. I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, Tony Pollard's going to turn into Jahmyr Gibbs back there, but I feel like the Titans are going to be pretty good in their running game this year, which should be a big help to your second-year quarterback heading into this year. And the other thing is this, and look, I don't want to jinx it, so I'll knock on the table here and all that stuff, but like Joey Sly made field goals yesterday of 33, 35, 39, 41, 44, and 47. This is from Jimmy Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. And Wyatt says, 6 for 6 yesterday. He's made 25 kicks in a row at practice, 33 kicks in a row if you count the 2 preseason games as well. So the struggles that Joey Sly had early in training camp, Joe, seemed like a distant memory at this point. He's made 33 in a row.
Yeah, good for him. Talk about someone who absolutely responded, because, I mean, you know, it's funny. We talk sometimes about, you know, Cam needs, like, someone to push him, or Marcus needs someone, you know, whatever. And I think a lot of that, certainly like a QB, it's just like, I mean, they're trying. It's a really hard job. Sure seems like just the mention of some guys coming in for trials, all of a sudden Joey Sly's like, ooh, just lasers right down the middle. It's like, I don't know what the heck was happening before, you know?
I mean, I'd probably keep a kicker in the general vicinity of the practice facility all year. Just be like, hey, Joey, if you miss another kick, this guy's coming in for a tryout.
Just at least, yeah, have some little short little guy walk around, even if it's not a kicker, just that maybe he thinks he is a kicker, you know? Like, hey, that dude's looking at your job. Trying to think if we could send someone over there.
All the short people in the building, they're the kickers.
Yeah, I mean, typically, right? I mean, here and there you'll have like a beast like Sebastian Janikowski, but they're mostly little people.
Joey Sly's kind of a big dude, right?
Yeah, actually he is, yeah. So, but maybe that's the thing. Maybe he has, you know, he's a little bit self-conscious because he's doesn't look like you're like what you think of as a kicker. So, but seriously, good for him.
Gramatica not walking through the door.
There you go. Exactly. Maybe there was a little bit of operation stuff going on early and they worked it out. I mean, that could be part of it. I don't know, but it's good to have that as a non storyline. Of course, then you miss a kick when games count and we can immediately go back to freaking out, but it sure seems like he's on a heater and hopefully he can keep it going all year.
Jared Springhill says Joey Sly leading scorer on the Titans this year. I mean, I would hope. It's, generally speaking, the field goal kicker is your leading scorer.
That is true. Yes.
It's typically how that goes.
Jared also does not agree with tipping people. So he's going to be Mr. Pink from Reservoir Dogs. Yeah, if you don't tip your servers, you are an absolute jackwagon. Please don't. Please tip your servers. Please.
Tip your servers, but there's other parts of this that have gotten way out of control that we've talked about on the show before.
Yes.
The tipping culture in this country right now is insane.
No, I agree. No, for sure. And I will say, like, actually, because people are wondering about the bed behind me, which is kind of a mess. Sorry, I didn't make my bed for the show. Like, in this stay here in East Lansing, that's funny. Ed says, is there a West Lansing? No, there's a Lansing and there's an East Lansing. These are two separate cities. In this stay here, I have not had any service. I just, if I have enough towels, like I typically, you know, it's like, I just don't like to be bothered. So,
sure.
But I think it's, if you have, if you stay someplace for a while and you know, like your room is, you know, clean several times and all that stuff, then I think you should leave a tip in your room. But you're right. Like when you go to like get fast food and you know, it's asking you for a tip and stuff, it's like, okay, now this is too much.
Dennis asking if I remember the offensive lineman who kept standing outside the practice facility with a poster board wanting to be signed to the roster.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I
yes,
don't.
Yes, yes. I remember Glennon actually went and wrote a story on him. Yeah. Oh man. I wish.
What did the poster say? Sign me, please.
Yeah, I don't remember, but yeah, he was like a. I mean, he was a. Like he played somewhere in college. I think he might have been a small college player. He looked like a guy who could play in the NFL. Huge guy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he was out there like, hey guys, I'm here, just to let you know. Yeah, Glennon went out and did a story on him. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see, so if someone out. Remember his name now we need to remember his name. So someone help out.
Liam says, you know, if only there were four preseason games. I miss when there were six. You could really get a sense of how good the teams were going to be.
My gosh. Yeah, it was like six preseason games, and like they played their starters the whole game too, you know? It's like.
Whoever thought like, that was a good idea?
I mean, it's amazing.
We need to play really a preseason amazing. Football for 3 months to get ready for the year. Okay.
Yeah. Now, keep – like I'm for, you know, again, continue to take him away. I just wish that the season didn't have to start so late. I mean, for college and pro, like to me, we should already be fully into college football and the NFL should start Sunday.
Did you watch any last night? Watch any college ball?
Did not. Had stuff going on with, you know, had a lot of stuff going on here in the 517. But, I saw there was a big upset. Gosh, a team that I didn't even know existed pulled a big upset. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Congrats to them.
Headline. Yes. Good job, team.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Plus, there's a Twitter sleuth out there that may have uncovered something very interesting that we'll get into as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No